Hello, beloved. It's good to be with you in our study of the letter of Jude. We are busy with study 20. And today we're going to look at verse 8. Jude, specifically verse 8. But before we do that, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for your love and kindness towards us. Thank you that we have your word to study. That your word shows us things that we need to know as believers so that we can glorify you in and through our lives effectively. And Father, we thank you that we can learn from your word. And as we study the letter of Jude, Father, we pray, please open up our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And I pray, Father, that you enable me as your servant to teach your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Jude 1 verse 8, or Jude verse 8, there's only one chapter. So, and this is what Jude writes. He says, "Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries." Now, the word "likewise" obviously tells us that it's connected to the previous part, now, where Jude was speaking about the judgment that came upon the false teachers. All right, so he says, "Likewise." So he's talking, still speaking about these false teachers that he speaks about earlier. All right, so these are dreamers. They defile the flesh, they reject authority, and they speak evil of dignitaries. Now, Jude wanted to write, if you remember earlier, he wanted to write a letter about our common salvation. But instead he wrote the letter exhorting his listeners to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Right, so what he wanted to write about, he didn't write about it. Then he said, no, we need to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered, once for all, delivered to the saints. It has been finalized. And he contends, or he says, we need to contend for that faith. He exhorts, he calls on his readers to contend for that faith, because the reason he exhorts his readers to contend for the faith is because of false teachers that came into the church already then, huh? And how much more even now? I don't know if we realize the damage that false teachers have caused through all the years in the church. False teachers are dangerous for the spiritual health of believers. So what Jude does in his letter is to help believers to understand that these false teachers, or what these false teachers actually look like, how can we identify them, and then decide not to listen to them. Basically, that's what it boils down to. That we contend for the faith that was once delivered, once for all delivered to the saints. We contend for that which is already been revealed, and not what these new false teachers are trying to bring to us. Now, in verse 4, Jude gives us four characteristics of these false teachers. The first thing is, he says, they get into the church unnoticed, all right? So they get into local assemblies, they get into denominations, they get into groups of believers, and they do it unnoticed. It's kind of they get in using stealth mode, all right? And the reason is, I believe, because they don't want to be exposed, all right? That's why they come in secretly. But then the second thing he says is that they are ungodly. The third thing he says is that they turn the grace of God into a means to, he talks about lewdness, now, for them to commit sexual immorality or any other kind of sin. So they use, misuse or abuse the grace of God so that they can actually commit the sins that they want to commit while they are part of or identify with believers. And then the fourth thing that Jude says is that they deny different things about the Lord Jesus Christ. That is revealed to us in God's Word. We've looked at quite a few things as time has gone during our study. Now, in verse 5 to 7, Jude gives a warning to these false teachers, basically. He gives them three examples of God's judgment over people because they did not believe. Because remember, these false teachers are not believers. They are doomed for destruction. Now, in verse 5, he gives the example of Israel. You remember? Israel getting delivered from Egypt, but God destroyed them in the wilderness and he didn't allow them to enter into the promised land, those who were acting in unbelief or who did not believe. In verse 6, he gives us the example of the fallen angels who was kicked out of heaven, right, because of rebellion. And then they possessed men and they started living out their desires through these men that they possessed. And obviously in the families, they got the families and the children and everyone that is under these possessed men, got them to do their bidding. And then in verse 7, he gives the example of Sodom and Gomorrah, which we know were destroyed because of their sin of sodomy. And Lot was saved, him and his family. Now Jude made it clear that these false teachers will not escape God's judgment, will not escape God's destruction, because God gives multiple examples in scriptures, or in the scripture, that he doesn't tolerate sin. He will judge sin, and especially if somebody comes in and destroys or tries to destroy God's people, God is not going to leave that person unjudged. Now, today we look at verse 8, where we read, and I'm just reading it again. Just follow with me. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Now, this is a mouthful. What Jude does is, again, he gives us four more characteristics of these false teachers. So he's identifying these false teachers. He's telling us what they look like. Now, can you find the characteristics of these false teachers in verse 8? There are three that are obvious, but I mean, I see four of them, because I kind of see it as a very important thing. It's an overarching thing about these false teachers. Can you see the characteristics? I believe the first one is they are dreamers. The King James translation calls them filthy dreamers. The second thing we see, another characteristic, is they defile the flesh. Third one is they reject authority. And the fourth one is they speak evil of dignitaries. Right, so what we're going to do is we're going to take each one of these characteristics and look at them individually. Now, there's no way that today we're going to get past number one, because this one is so important. And I would like to give us an example, a modern day example, of exactly what Jude is speaking about. Now, the first one characteristic that Jude gives us in verse 8 is that they are dreamers. Verse 8 says, likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh. Now, when you think of a dreamer, what comes to mind? Well, when I think of a dreamer, I think of someone who is detached from reality. It is someone who lives in a world that doesn't exist. John MacArthur says in his commentary on verse 8, and I quote, he says, "This refers to a confused state of the soul, or an abnormal imagination, producing delusions and sensual confusion." Oh, that's a mouthful. He continues to say that these men's minds were numb to the truth of God's word, so that being beguiled and deluded, they fantasized wicked perversions, being blind and deaf to reality and truth. You see, a dreamer is blind to and deaf to what is truth and what is reality. You see, the reality, and this is what Jude is telling us, is that God will judge all false teachers. In fact, God will judge everyone who does not believe. But Jude tells us that God judges those in Israel, or he judged those in Israel who made an image of a calf in the desert. How did God judge them? He destroyed them all in 38 years. He destroyed the whole of the people that came out of Egypt who did not believe. Nah? He judged the fallen angels by reserving them in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day of God's judgment, of the white throne judgment of God. So he didn't, how can I say, he didn't spare the fallen angels, even though they were in God's presence. And then he also judged Sodom and Gomorrah by destroying them with fire. And these false teachers are not going to get away. Right. But Jude tells us that these false teachers are characterized as dreamers. because I think they think they're exempt from God's judgment somehow. They live in this dream world that God is not going to judge them. It's like so many people in the world today that think, we are good people. God will not judge us. No, beloved, you can be as good in your own eyes as you think you can be. You can think you're the best person in the world. You're still going to be judged by God, because the only means we can escape God's judgment is through the blood of Jesus Christ, who cleansed us of our sin, and our faith towards Jesus Christ and repentance towards God. But these false teachers, they kind of, and this is what I believe Jude is alluding to, is that they live in a dream world which doesn't exist. Now, it's possible to take it a little bit further, these dreamers, that they claimed that they received their teachings, you know, that they taught God's people, that they received it from God in dreams or maybe visions. Now, through the years that I've been privileged to be involved in full-time ministry, I've had numerous encounters with people who teach error, who told me about their dreams that they received, and they act on these dreams, and they say that it's God's revelation to them. I've met many, many people. I've had numerous conversations, not just conversations, sometimes heavy debates with people about this. And you know what was a common trait among these people? A common trait is the fact that they get their revelation from God, directly from God, not from the Bible. They believe they get it directly from God. It's as if they put themselves on the same level as the prophets of old, you know, the Old Testament and New Testament prophets and the apostles. That's kind of what I see. I think there's quite a bit of pride in there. Because the way normally in which they speak about their dreams and their visions is, it's from a position of superiority. They come from the top down. I mean, whoa, I had a dream from God. I had a vision from God. I am God's special person, kind of. That's the feeling I get when I speak to people, when they do not stick to the scripture alone, but they embrace dreams and visions and this kind of thing. Now, the problem is that only the person who had the dream or the vision will actually know if they actually had it or not. It's very, very subjective. Extremely subjective. Now, it's true that God gave people dreams and visions. I mean, we read it in the Old Testament, we read it in the New Testament. There's no two ways about it. I mean, the whole of the book of Revelation is a vision that John had on the Isle of Patmos. But question is, does God still speak through dreams and visions? Maybe by occasion, at occasion, in certain situations, it might be possible. I don't know. But that kind of speaks against what I read in Scripture. You see, in the past, God spoke to the prophets in an audible voice. God appeared to people, used different means of communication with His people in the past. We read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, God, and remember when we studied Hebrews, we went into detail about this. But in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, this is what the Hebrew writer says. He says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He made the worlds. You see, God spoke by the prophets in the past, but in these last days, and we're living in it now, but we've been living in it since Jesus ascended into heaven. That's the last days, no? God has spoken to us by His Son. So what was happening is that God gave His perfect and final revelation, and His final and perfect revelation was Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ came to say on this earth. And that was written down for us. So God's final and perfect revelation was written down. Obviously, in the book of Acts, we still read about things that happened. But that was building the foundation of the church. That was still, the Canaan wasn't compiled yet. It wasn't put in place yet. The Bible as it exists today was not finalized yet. So God used God used New Testament prophets, and He used visions, and He had dreams, He used dreams, and He used the apostles to lay the foundation of the church, and for the final writings of Scripture that had to be included into the Bible, into the Canaan. And it's all about Jesus. Jesus, God's final revelation. So everything that is to be revealed has been revealed in Jesus Christ and has been pinned down for us in the Word of God so that everyone can read it. It's no longer for a selected group of people. It is for everyone. Anyone can read God's revelation. What God wanted to say has been written down in the pages of the Bible. As Justin Peters so rightfully says, I heard him say it, I don't know who said it before him, but I heard him say it, that if you want to hear God speak, read your Bible. If you want to speak God, if you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read your Bible aloud. You see, beloved, when a false teacher comes to us and proclaims that his teachings come from God through dreams and visions, how in the world can we test it? Except if we can read it, how can I say, what is written in God's Word, if we can test it to something that is pinned down and has authority, and I believe that's the Word of God. So whenever somebody comes with a dream or a vision and it doesn't line up with God's Word, we can immediately just throw it out. To say, that's error, that's wrong, that's not biblical at all. But what people do nowadays is they have these dreams and these visions, and then what they do is they twist Scripture to actually say what they believe their dream or their vision says. And that's a problem today. Now, false teachers love to come to people and tell them that they received a word from God through dreams, or they had a vision from God, because they know it's very difficult to test what they are saying. And the false teachers do this. They even do it today. Many believers do not know their Bible. And that's the problem. So they don't know it well. So they're easily caught by these false teachers coming to them with dreams and visions because it sounds so supernatural. So the warning of Jude here, and he's giving us characteristics of these people so that we can know what these false teachers look like, so that we can listen to them, test what they say, discern what is right and what is wrong, and at the end of the day, expose them as false teachers. Now, I want to look at a huge movement that has had a major impact on Christianity, just to kind of test what they say to Scripture. Now, I'm not going to go into depth. I'm just going to give you a summary. Now, the teachers of this movement claim that they hear directly from God. They claim that they get dreams and they get visions. All right? They also use the Bible, by the way, so that they can sound legitimate, so that Christians will actually listen to them. But they twist the Bible. They twist the Word to say what they wanted to say. Now, this movement is not a denomination. It is a movement which infiltrated all denominations in some or other way. I normally talk about it as the Name It, Frame It, and Claim It movement. I heard it somewhere, I can't remember where. The Prosperity movement. This movement has been in existence for quite some time, and many of the movement's teachers could be seen in the past and can still be seen on Christian television, and a lot of people listen to them. Now let me give you a brief summary of what this movement believes and teach, and I want you to see if you can identify the movement, if you can put a name to this movement that I'm going to just summarize for you. All right, and maybe you can think of some of the teachers who are in this movement, if you can identify some of them. Now, I'm going to take the summary from a website called gotquestions.org. Very nice summary of this movement, and I quote, see if you can identify this movement. At the heart of this movement is the belief in the force of faith. It is believed that words can be used to manipulate the faith force and thus actually create what they believe Scripture promises, its health and wealth. Laws supposedly governing the faith force are said to operate independently of God's sovereign will, and that God Himself is subject to these laws. So God is actually subject to these the faith force laws. No? All right, the article continues. He says, "This is nothing short of idolatry, turning our faith, and by extension ourselves, into God." Now from here, its theology just strays further and further from Scripture. It claims that God created human beings in His literal physical image as little gods. Who teaches that we are little gods? Can you identify this movement yet? Okay, the article continues. He says, "Before the fall, humans had the potential to call things into existence by using the faith force. And after the fall, humans took on Satan's nature and lost the ability to call things into existence. In order to correct this situation, Jesus Christ gave up His divinity and became a man, died spiritually, took Satan's nature upon Himself, went to hell, was born again, basically in hell, né? And rose from the dead with God's nature. And after this, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to replicate the incarnation in believers, so they could become little gods as God had originally intended." The article continues to say, "Following the natural progression of these teachings, as little gods, we again have the ability to manipulate the faith force and become prosperous in all areas of life. Illness, sin, and failure are the results of a lack of faith and are remedies by confession, claiming God's promises for oneself into existence." End quote. That's the summary. Do you know this movement? Could you put a name to this movement? Could you put some names of teachers in this movement? Well, it's called the Word of Faith movement. You can go and check it up on the internet. The Word of Faith movement. This movement was basically founded. There's some controversy on actually where the origins are, but basically this movement, let's say the modern day movement, was founded by E.W. Kenyon, and then Kenneth Hagin took Kenyon's information, or what Kenyon wrote and so on, and just kind of made it popular and incorporated it into his own teachings. Now, let me give you a few names of people, and this is not all the names, it's just a few names of people who are part of this movement that teaches the summary that I've given you, what this. Now, some of them don't teach all of it. Some of them teach most of it. Some of them teach 80% of it. All right, but these people, they are in the Word of Faith movement. They are part of this movement. Some names: Kenneth Copeland, Robert Tilton, Benny Hinn, Merlin Hickey, Paula White, Joyce Meyer, Paul and Jan Crouch, they deceased, they died. John Avenatti, Jerry Seville, Morris Carrillo, Oral Roberts, T.D. Jakes, Brian Houston of Hillsong. And people love Hillsong music so much, né? It's Word of Faith stuff. Joel Osteen, Rod Parsley, Robert Morris, Carl Lentz, Rodney Howard Brown, that came from South Africa and then moved to the United States, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's in the United States now. Peter Popoff, Janita Bynum, Creflo Dollar, and Fred Price, just to name some. Obviously, there are many people who embrace the Word of Faith teachings, especially the prosperity part of it. Now, this faith force that they got to... how can I say, basically stir up to do things for them. All right. Did you recognize some of these people? Now, what I would like to suggest is, I'm going to put two links into into the description box. Two links that you can follow, because I believe it's very, very important for us to get good, solid teaching on the Word of Faith movement. Now, Justin Peters did a talk and Grace TU has it on their website, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm going to give you a YouTube link to the teaching that he had on the Word of Faith movement. Please check it out. It's more than an hour each one, but it's worth watching and worth listening to, because he gives so much. He did his master's degree on Benny Hinn and the Word of Faith movement. So please, if you can, go and watch it. Very good to watch, and just to get your mind clear on it again, on what the Word of Faith movement is. I believe the Word of Faith movement, the teachers in the Word of Faith movement, are false teachers teaching false doctrine. And it's interesting how they all dreamers. They get dreams, and they get a lot of their things from dreams and visions. All right. With this said, this is our end. Sorry, this was longer than normally, but I just wanted to share this with you. Remember that that Jude, in his letter, warns about false teachers. His letter is all about that, giving us the characteristics. So may the Lord help us and really enable us to recognize false teachers and stay away from their teachings. Study the scriptures. Read the scriptures. Okay, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you. Thank you for exposing the characteristics of false teachers so that we can see who they are. And I want to pray, Father, for people who are caught up in false teachings. I pray, Father, please open up their eyes. Please enable them to see the truth so that they can be set free in the first place and start teaching the truth of your word. I pray for so many people, Father, who listen to these false teachers. I pray, please, Father, open up their eyes and ears so that they can hear the truth. And, oh, Lord, I pray, please, glorify yourself. And may truth be told and truth be taught, so that your name may be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a quick word. I have now given a lot of names. This is what I got from the internet of people that have looked at these people's doctrines and looked at what they taught, and they have given the names, these names. So most of these people I've listened to, and I agree that they are part of the Word of Faith movement. There are some of them that I haven't checked up, so I'm not going to say that this is authoritative in the sense, but these are people you can go and check it out for yourself, whether they are Word of Faith teachers or they teach Word of Faith teachings. All right, but these are the people that has been exposed so far by people on the internet of people who teach Word of Faith teachings. All right, so God willing, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you His peace. Until next time, God willing, bye-bye.